Fife fans, and welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a couple of friends chat about anything and everything that takes their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club!
Fuck your enthusiasm, James. It pisses me off.
And that one week when he didn't have any, we were fucking pissed off.
Yeah, can he win in this bastard show?
Yeah, and please do talk about us. You can also now leave comments on our posts on the website. So just another fantastic way to chat to us. Everybody loves the bottom half of the internet. Let's see if you guys can become as notorious as the Daily Mail comment section.
But nobody likes the bottom half of Fife Club.
Yeah. Pale. So anyway, Jamie, how can they find us?
They can talk to us on Facebook at facebook.com/Fife Club Pod or at Fife Club, Twitter at Fife Club, Instagram Fife Club, email Ken at fiveclub.co.uk or on our shiny new up and running website, www.fiveclub.co.uk, where we also have a shop and stuff for sale.
Which we'll talk about later on in the show.
Ah, okay.
It's rude to show your stuff at the start.
Ah, that explains how many a date has failed for me.
Yeah, don't shake it straight away.
It's amazing how people unappreciate the spinning wheel gesture that you do.
Jamie knows that one. The helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
It's better than your elephant.
I double up, will they call me the Chinook?
Well, like I say, it's better than your elephant. The shortest nosed elephant.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm called Dumbo.
Oh, nasty. Yeah.
But more like Tim Burton's Dumbo. Oh, so probably all fucked up.
Anywho, let's get on with the show. On the mics tonight with my good self, Kutch is a man like the Gears of War games, past his best, tired looking and flogged to death. It's Jamie.
Hello. I also have very repetitive mechanics.
And a shit cover system.
Yeah, exactly what I mean.
And next to him is our very own Call of Duty franchise, regurgitating the same shit year in, year out. It's James.
Yeah, if you don't already hate me now, oh, you're going to hate me in the next installment.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And we don't have a Mark with us this week because he's, I don't know, what is he doing?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Having a wank.
For a whole hour. No, he's not. Most definitely not.
He's the Atari of E3.
Yeah, Kutch, what game are you?
What game am I?
Are you Halo in that at first you were fun and exciting, but then you went downhill? With a late resurgence with slightly more interest.
And... yeah, I don't know where else I'm going with that. I'll take that. Yeah, so E3.
Yeah.
Kind of the point of the intros this week.
I have to warn you, I usually am quite all over E3. Mm-hmm. This year, I've only watched half of the Xbox presentation, and I've not really watched much else. So yeah. I'm interested more what you boys have to say.
I enjoyed most of the conferences, mainly... well, the big two, like Microsoft and Sony, were
big two.
Will everyone know what E3 is? Actually, just before we jump in, will everyone know what E3 is?
I don't know, maybe not. E3 is the Electronic
Entertainment Expo.
Arts Expo. No, that'd be EAE.
Yeah, this one
Electronic
again.
Arts Expo. Yeah, might as well be.
You have to buy loot boxes to see videos
for the games that you want to buy next year.
Yeah. So to see this preview of Resident Evil 2, you need to have 4,000 tokens, but you need to buy these tokens at £2.99 a pop, and you only get 200.
Yeah. No, so yeah, it's the Electronic Entertainment Expo. It's basically where all the big video games, console companies get together and showcase what they're going to show to everybody for the next year, or two, or three, or four.
It's usually games announced, and then they don't come out till 5 years later.
Yeah,
well, that's Guardian much.
I was just about to say, that's the best example.
Crackdown 3, sorry.
That's coming out this year, though, isn't it?
Was it 2019? It got 2019, got pushed back again.
and let's face it, we'll probably never see that game. But yeah, so yeah, there's... basically a full weekend, isn't it? Sort of Thursday through to Tuesday, I think.
Well, it starts on the Saturday night, and then it runs all the way to Friday. But then you have your main press conferences, which are the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Which are usually really good, really entertaining. Mixed bag, I thought, this year.
Yeah.
Andrew WK is absolutely wasted on an E3 journalist crowd.
They always do this. They pull out somebody, like a big star or, like a band to play, and it is the whole audience just looks dead because they're not there for a gig. Like, it's this weird thing where it's like, look how rock and roll gaming is. Yeah, we've got Andrew WK who just likes to party.
Yeah.
And is like 59.
Do you know what? I think if I said a podcast, his new album was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
It's very uplifting and cheesy, but in a cheesy way that kind of works.
He's such a happy guy. He's such a happy
There's a lot of music I used to listen to. I can't listen to now because I find it a bit too cheesy.
But, do you not think...
I could believe how much I enjoyed his new
album. In terms of relevance... Andrew WK is just not very relevant, especially to the games industry these days.
That's probably
true. People. Yeah, it's
relevant,
like,
to people our age.
Yeah.
Whereas how big's a cohort beneath us, it's much bigger, isn't it?
There's something about like watching an E3 conference, you see a band playing, it's like, let's make some noise, and you've got a bunch of journalists just writing to IGN, he said make some noise, waiting for the first game to actually be shown.
Yeah, they've got no interest in it, and it's just a weird thing of trying to bring some... razzmatazz to
it. It's the people who are Xbox super fans I can't take seriously. I understand being really into games, but people are like, oh, here's the head of Xbox, it's Phil Spencer or something. Spencer.
Yeah.
It's like, mate, calm down.
Calm your pants.
Xbox, and I own an Xbox, is at best a terrible platform.
It's great. Some of the patter you get from like the people speaking is absolutely atrocious. I think I said
it's computer geeks that have no social skills. I hate to say that that's like a stereotype, but it mostly is. They don't have any sort of like real skill at presentation, and they wheel them out to try and big up a game, and
The way I put it to a friend, and it's probably the best way of putting it. Maybe not. I'm just putting smoke up my bum here, but it's like.
That's the game I'm most looking forward to.
Smoke up my bum.
But it's like, they actually made the effort to go out and pay people to write jokes for them. Problem being is they never paid money to actually go over how to deliver the jokes. So it's just like, you just said things. And like, Ubisoft was the worst for it. Especially when like they came out with shite patter, and then they're about to reveal a game, and then you can actually hear the in-house mic that's not been cut out going, "We nailed it! Yeah!" You bombed.
It's very much like this podcast, apart from no one writes jokes for us.
We're
terrible, and we don't deliver them well either. But just on things being mics cut off today, I had a great moment today where I phoned a call centre, which I used to do as a job. Guy was transferring me. Hadn't hit mute on his mic. Trouble. Went, how the fuck's that not working? It was amazing. I hope
you got him fired.
I laughed. I laughed. He sounded a bit far away. I don't know if he'd put his headset down.
Aye.
And then, so that was good.
I would have totally gone with the mock outrage for about 5 minutes and then just go, nah, you're all right, mate.
back to E3. So,
a mixed bag of things.
Well, what games are you most looking forward to? That, you know, if you had to pick maybe one or two things out, what would you say?
Ooh.
So I'm actually looking forward to laying my hands on Unravel 2. I know it's out.
I still haven't finished the first one. It's so good.
But the first one was really good. Like, a lot of people were sort of like slagging EA for that being one of their instant releases. Like, you know, they announce it at E3 and then it's out. And like some people didn't seem to think it was that big a deal, but I didn't even know there was a sequel coming. And that first Unravel game was a classic platformer with a nice twist to like the story and the mechanics of it. That it made it really fun, but also like, my God, did that tug at the heartstrings, that game, because it's basically about a woman who's got dementia and is losing her memories, and an old woman, and she knits, and it's this little ball of yarn like gets life, and
it's like Braid. It's like one of these arty indie platformers that has a soul
and has to
or Limbo or,
and then it has to go and look and recover the memories, and you're going through all the places where the memories were made, and it's this big photo book, and
it's beautiful as well.
It looks really good, and the fact that there's now a sequel and it's got a co-op in it as well, that I mean, that looks absolutely amazing.
It's one of those rare games where the story's good, the gameplay's good, and the art's all good.
Yeah.
It's very rare to get that.
Yeah.
It's so perfect.
Especially with EA.
Yeah, also, that's a great point. Yeah.
Although apparently the... Because one of my big things, obviously, like I've bought a Switch earlier in the year, and I've kind of invested a lot of time in that, and that's obviously my... I've got an Xbox as well, but I just don't get much time to play that these days. The mobility of the Switch is a thing that I'm really enjoying. However, I kind of thought that this would have been a perfect game for the Switch, but it turns out that the company that make the game aren't actually owned by EA. It's simply being published by EA, so they've got like a deal for publishing. But that company had come out and said, you know, we did think about the Switch, but the problem with the Switch is we're a small team. We didn't have enough time or budget to make a Switch port, and that would take way much more time than... at the moment anyway. I mean, obviously, it might happen, might come along, but like, after having that explanation, it was like, right, I kind of get why there's now not a Switch. If you're not making like an Android or a mobile version of it, then that's why, like, the Switch at the moment is this big platform for indies. But it's because a lot of them are developing for mobiles, and the architecture of the Switch is... Yeah. Is a mobile architecture, so it's like easy to put across. I mean, that's I would have said, out of all the games that EA announced, that's probably the biggest win for me an Unravel 2.
It's quite interesting you mentioned the Switch as well, because I thought Switch came out looking really good after E3 this year. With there's a lot of games that got announced, and they're like, yep, we're going to bring it to the Switch, and folk were just losing their minds for it.
Not enough, I think.
A Nintendo Direct was two games.
The Nintendo Direct was a bit meh.
What is Nintendo Direct?
So instead of doing a press conference, Nintendo do these like videos with Reggie Fils-Ames, the head of Nintendo America. So Treehouse is the other thing. So usually what would happen is you would have a Direct, which will show you like what's coming up, what's new. But they do the Directs all the way throughout the year.
Ah, I see.
And as I say, it's just like a video they launch on YouTube and on the consoles, and it announces something new or a couple of new things. And then afterwards, they go to a Treehouse where they analyse it and play it, show bits of gameplay and stuff.
Well, James, what was it? What game would you
pick? Well, one of the ones that I was really, really up for, that got my goat, but you know what I mean? Like, I got really excited about it, was Resident Evil 2 being rebooted and remade with the same engine as Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. I might actually buy that, because Resident Evil 2 is one of the best
games. Also, it would be interesting because those original Resident Evil games were very much like camera in the corner.
I was just about to say.
Running about, whereas if you're changing it to the... Wow, that changes the mechanics of that game and how it looks and how it plays.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be a complete beat-for-beat repeat of the original game as well. Like, they were saying, there's parts of the game where if you knew Resident Evil 2, the original, really well, you'd be like, oh, that never happened there. And it's like, yeah, we've moved it to catch you out. Like, they've changed things, they've mixed it up and altered things. I think the story is going to be much the same. The gameplay feels a lot more like Resident Evil 4. They were saying in the stories, like set pieces, bits and pieces like that, they've moved around. There was chat of why it wasn't going to be first-person view, like Resident Evil 7.
Uh-huh.
But I think they they had mixed reviews from gamers who said that they weren't too hot on. I really enjoyed the first person aspect of Resident Evil.
I've not played a Resident Evil game since Resident Evil 4, and
so they feel quite home at this one then.
Yeah, but I mean, Resident Evil 4 was such a good game on the GameCube as well. That was one of those games that, like, late on in the GameCube's development, and it appeared and was amazing. Yeah. But yeah,
I'm gonna go for the game I'd like. I don't even know if it's coming to console. Mm-hmm. Is Cyberpunk 2077?
Oh,
is
yeah,
coming
to Xbox. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah,
good.
It looks interesting.
It looks like what Deuce Ex should have been.
Yeah,
because Deuce Ex sounded cool, and I played it, and I just didn't like it at all. And I heard apparently no one got hands on with it, or very few people did. And I heard a journalist say, thing is, it looks good. It looks like they've got style right and everything else. And they said it, people have been saying Blade Runner, but actually he said it was more like
Kung Fu.
No. Yeah, the journalist said it looked like not Blade Runner, but Fifth Element.
Oh, right, Fifth Element, yeah. Well, yeah, so one of the things I was reading about it was like, so like Blade Runner, it's all dark, and these sort of like cyberpunk futures are all dark and at night and pollution-y, whereas this has elements of that, but there's actually quite a lot of like bright daylight kind of stuff. So it's seeing it on another side, essentially.
But the thing is, it looks great and it looks like it'd be fun to play, but you don't know. Like, a big thing with games is how the guns feel and how it feels to drive and how it feels just to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, it could be not.
Is it not the same guys that are behind The Witcher 3?
Yes.
Yeah, which is why a lot of people have faith, because a lot of people consider The Witcher 3 to be one of the best games of all time.
Yeah. Cyberpunk's been a game that's been in development for years.
Yeah.
Like, they're really making the effort to make sure this is right, and they're not wanting to make any mistakes with it, which is always.
Yeah.
It's always fun. I'd much rather wait longer for a game and know that it's going to be really good than for, like, Ubisoft and Assassin's Creed. Like, we're bringing out an Assassin's Creed this year on year, and it just doesn't get better.
A franchise that I loved at the start, but I've left because it was too much.
Apparently, the last one was really good.
Yeah, apparently they were returned to form, but again, it's been so long, I'm out now.
The new one actually looks cool, but it's the first one that's made me go, actually, I might want to play that. It's in ancient Greece, in Athens.
Yep.
Sounds pretty cool to me.
It does look pretty cool.
Apparently it's got Socrates in it, so that's a plus.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting looking game. It looks really fun as well. Because I thought you were going to be part of the Spartans.
Mm-hmm.
But well, it's in the Peloponnesian War, so you'll probably be at war with the Spartans.
With the Spartans,
I think by the looks of the story, it looks like you are a Spartan who's been kicked out and now you're living in Athens.
Yeah, you're American.
Who was meant to be killed.
Yeah. It looks really good. Just overall thoughts on the presentations this year. Sony's was a bit interesting that they went for quality over quantity. They went, right, cards on the table, we've got four games that we're really focusing on, so you're going to see a lot more of those. Not much of new ones.
Yeah.
But then I was quite interesting that, because they came into this big barn, like church barn, I was like, this is weird. I was like, why are they in there?
It was cool what they did, how they transitioned that though, because
it made sense once they started playing the trailer for Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
Aye.
I mean, that...
I got so giddy when I saw that.
It looks good. I mean, I played a good chunk of Last of Us. I never managed to finish it, because I played it on PlayStation Now on my PC, and then my 14-day trial ran out, and I wasn't able to pay at that point, and never have gone back to it. But yeah, I managed to get a good chunk of the way through it, and it is a pretty game.
It is gorgeous.
Like, and just the story and the way it plays... Yeah, it was good fun. So the problem is, not being a PlayStation owner, have never had since the PS1.
Yeah, everyone had a PS1.
Yeah, I've missed out on some of these games. That's why I quite like the idea of PlayStation Now, was that, you know, you're able to go on and play some PS3 games. So the sequel, definitely looks interesting.
Yeah, like, I like the idea of the original game where your morals were being challenged.
Yeah,
through the story, like you play through the story as is, like it's like a film or a book or anything like that, and you're playing through it. But even through this, even though you're playing the game and just taking it all in, you're questioning the decisions you're having to make in this game. It's not like you're making key decisions, but it's the thread of the story that you're having to follow. And it's like, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah,
why would you not do this? But you question yourself, and then it gets towards the end. I don't want to spoil it because it's a really good story. You should really play it. But you left wondering who's really the bad guy, was the right thing done, were the answers all solved, what are the consequences of this? And that's one of the things that gets me excited about Last of Us 2, is it's going to delve into the consequences of that decision at the end of the last game.
Yeah.
I would just briefly like to mention the new Forza game, which, interestingly, is coming straight to Game Pass.
Yeah.
And I think there's a few things like
all new first in-house games are going straight there. But Sony have also announced that they're releasing a Game Pass type thing as well, with all new games coming to it.
Well, I just want to say, the new Forza is based in the UK.
Yeah.
And you're driving around like Edinburgh. And,
Doing like a Project Gotham racing.
Yeah, but like round the coast, I'd imagine it's Cornish, I'm not sure where. All sorts of places, but there seem to be a few Scottish levels in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
The Forza Horizon games are always good because they're a bit more along the lines of the arcade-y racing games.
Which
so they're
what
fun.
I'm more interested in. It's also an open world thing as well.
Yeah, well, that's so, the Horizon games tend
maybe not
to be,
completely open world, but it's like you've got people
that are in and you can choose to do...
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like Burnout Paradise.
That's what I was thinking
Burnout
of.
Burnout Paradise, what a game. Oh, if only they made that again.
They did. They remastered it
for the PlayStation, yeah.
Oh, well.
But if you guys out there making Forza Horizon 3, if you want to put Fife in there, we'll be gladly endorsing
Drive
that
around
for
Dunfermline.
The coastal route.
The
coastal path.
Just the coastal path.
Yeah. And drive on it.
Just have a special frequency for Fife Club. We'll just do a special Fife Club for the game.
So, kind of wrapping this bit up, again, you're sort of, obviously, we've talked about the games that we quite liked. Who do you think came out tops?
Oh, that's a toughie. Maybe Xbox.
See, I think probably PlayStation.
I'd love to say Sony because I'm a Sony diehard. But as I say, the quality of the games they brought out was Last of Us, Death Stranding, the new Spider-Man, Ghost.
Was it called Spider-Man?
Oh yeah,
I hate people. One.
Yeah, was it called Ghost of Shodia?
That's on the PlayStation, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the Xbox also has a game that looks very similar, which actually I meant to mention. That looks cool as well.
Yeah. Oh, Xbox announced Devil May Cry 5. I was like, what? I felt a bit like, don't leave. Please don't leave PlayStation. Don't leave me.
But then Nintendo also had their weird, 40-minute presentation, which was 15 minutes on kind of the stuff that we already know is coming and just giving some dates to some of it as well. And then 25 minutes on Smash Brothers. Now,
most of that was roster reveal.
Yeah, it was, it was just, I mean, it's cool. It looks great. It looks like it'll be a fun Smash Brothers game. Every single character that's been in every single Smash Brothers so far, including some of the other games like Snake from Metal Gear Solid.
Cloud from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, so, you know, it's chucking everybody in, and there's probably going to be some more as well. But it then started going through, character...
Their movesets changing.
Moves and movesets and stuff. It was just really in-depth, but unnecessarily so, considering there's other games that are coming out before that as well.
I feel like they padded it out with that.
Yeah.
I quite like the reveal of Mario Party.
I was so hoping for a Metroid game. Well, we know there's a Metroid game being made. I just wanted to see some footage from it.
Do you think that's why they padded out Smash Bros then? Just to kind of distract everyone from Metroid.
It'll probably be in another Direct soon, but... Yeah. But yeah, so I kind of reckon.
Yeah.
Do you have any preferences?
I didn't see enough of it to comment.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I would say it's fair though, Sony being the winner.
I think so. Cool. Well, I think we should probably move on quickly. There was big news in the town today. A tree fell over.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
it's Dunfermline Town's currently out. There's a massive vigil down the Maygate. a tree fell over. That was big news.
Storm Hector.
Yeah, Storm Hector.
A roof tile did hit a woman in Edinburgh who's fighting for her life.
Oh, wow. That's nasty.
That is nasty. Yeah. Although I saw a thing today that was there's this exoplanet where wind speeds are 4,500 miles per hour and it rains glass sideways.
Oh!
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Hell no.
A bit Storm Hector in perspective, doesn't
it? Does
it?
A little bit, yeah.
I love how you made that part of that lady in Edinburgh. You made it sound like it was a film trailer.
Well, it was actually...
Fighting for her life.
It was actually a Sly Anchorman.
Yeah. reference, well, yeah.
If anyone hopefully got that.
But yeah, no, the storm today's been a wee bit mental.
Then there was that thing. Did you see the opening St. Andrews?
Like
the VIP shelter literally got blown apart.
Oh god, yeah.
It fell apart. Like it's like a tent or whatever it was lifted up.
Like a marquee, yeah.
Yeah, and just as it was like flipped over, but rather than flipping over, it just snapped into tiny little pieces.
It was like somebody playing in a 3D, in a 3D sort of building program and deciding to blow it apart the way it just
like
kind
Sim
of
City, yeah. Real life.
Storm Hector is actually a communist agitator storm. He's blown up bourgeois things. Yeah.
Take out St. Andrews.
I said Storm Hector was a child playing Sim City and thought, I'm fed up with this city. I'm going to start over again.
But yeah, so RIP the tree in Dunfermline, down the Maygate.
As I said today on the chat, first the public loo goes there.
Yeah.
Now the tree. What next?
The Abbey.
Yeah, fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
God, no. Whatever will we have left? We'll have nothing left. Will people do? What will they see?
You know what? That could happen. The place would still look better than Kirkcaldy.
Yeah.
fine talk.
Yeah, but, classic fighting top.
Yeah, although I still stand by my irony of Dunfermline that we have a club called Life, and across the road we have a graveyard.
Yep.
From that.
It's good.
Like, who in their right fucking mind thought that one? I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call this place Life, because you know what's across the road? There's knee life. It's shit banter. I'm sorry.
I was about to say the same. That was absolutely shite banter, James. I'm sorry. Usually come out with gold, but that was terrible.
It's a long day. It's been a long day. I was going to say that, like, when you go for a night out, don't go to Life, because you will get a life lesson that when you go into Life, you will wind up across the road in that graveyard eventually.
Well, pretty much, because you'll get stabbed by a knife.
Yeah.
Don't go to Life.
Jiggies.
You'll get stabbed by a knife. So that happened. Kind of on a similar note, yesterday, the SNP walked out. It's kind of like a tree falling over.
Wow.
Shite link.
So what, they got blown over and then laid to waste, and the vigil's been put in their place.
Yeah, whatever.
So we have a shambles of a government, don't we?
Well, yeah, so the SNP walked out of Westminster because on the Brexit, on the repeal bill for Brexit, they were only allocated 15 minutes to talk about devolved matters. That's for Wales and Northern Ireland as well.
Yeah.
And then...
which are some of the more important matters as well.
And I think there was 0 minutes where any Scottish MP...
was able to talk.
Was able to speak.
Yeah.
So it's... so then they brought this up. And they asked for basically to disrupt PMQs. Ian Blackford, leader of the SNP at Westminster, asked for the House to sit in private, which means you have to call a vote, which means you have to, you can do. He's actually probably right. I mean, I'm not an expert in parliamentary procedure, but he seems to have been right. And then the vote should have gone on right now, but he did it in the middle of PMQs to be really disruptive.
Yeah.
So then the speaker went, no, we'll do it after PMQs.
Uh-huh.
Ian Blackford refused to give up the floor, so then the speaker, after about 5 minutes of sort of talking to his clerk, decided that, oh, actually, well, I'm going to eject you from the chamber. And then all the SNP walked out in protest, which was interesting. And it was funny because you had loads of people going, oh, you had Labour people, and I'm not an SNP person, by the way, listeners, just say, but you had Labour people going, oh, this is just a ridiculous tactic. It's stupid. It's really childish. But Labour did exactly the same thing. And I think it was 96 or 97 over devolution. All the Scottish MPs walked out.
Yep.
So, you know.
It was kind of mental because it kind of mixed feelings of it. That sort of thing of does it do anything to further their cause? Because it does look kind of childish and like they're stamping their feet. Yeah. But at the same time, what else do they do? You know, it's like it's brought to make to a point. Issue. Yeah, and it does.
It wasn't getting much attention on the national level, and even at the Scottish level, like the UK level, sorry, and even at the Scottish level, it wasn't. It got attention, but it wasn't like seen as this terrible thing. Yeah. When really, it is.
It is. It's massively problematic. Anyway,
And they've got 5,000 new members in 24 hours.
Yeah,
as well. So, and they're already, I think, the third largest party in the UK.
Yeah.
You know, so it's even though they only contest in Scotland,
which is mental. And again, when you consider like how where they were to where they are now, you know, they're the third biggest party in the UK, and so like a minority government, but in Holyrood, but still with the majority of that minority. You know, it's they are a big force, and to have that many MPs walk out. I mean, do you think it was planned? The whole thing was planned?
I don't think so. No.
They said it wasn't. They said it was like...
Because I've read a few different bits and pieces of people saying, oh, you know, it had to have been planned the way they all got up. But I was like, nah, I can kind of see the fact...
They got up in drips and drabs, it looked like to me. Like it was it almost could like well a... be... Would I be surprised if it was planned? Not in the slightest. Mm. Do I think it was planned? No.
No. I think maybe he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was looking to get
ejected. He definitely did, yeah. Because thing is, if he's looking to draw attention to it,
if he gets
granted the vote, it's worked.
Yeah.
It draws attention to it. If he doesn't get granted the vote, it still works. He gets ejected from the chamber.
Yeah. And that's big news. Yeah. It hits the news cycle. Yeah,
yeah. Totally. And it's interesting because a lot of people are like, oh, a lot of people are saying, oh, the SNP are losing support and blah, 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 which is partially true. But, and they're doing this to drum up support, which has worked. But, that's not entirely true. Like, there are a lot of polls where, like, independents is doing pretty well in the polls. It's not over the top, but there was a poll just the other day, which was saying that 40-something percent of people, I think it was more than 45 or around there, think that the Scottish economy would be better off independent.
Yeah.
Which is larger than the nose.
Yeah.
You've always got the don't knows in between, but that's huge. Even on the day of the referendum, the poll was like the people thought it was 28% or something.
Yeah.
So it's pretty massive. It's
a huge jump,
It's a huge jump. So they're seeing the wind blowing, trying to build direction so that independence is the next logical step.
Yeah. And then of course, like, we've had the editor of the Daily Record now come out in full support of independence, which is a huge thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I miss that?
Yeah, you must have. Yeah. That happened last night, yeah.
Well, I completely missed that.
Yeah, which that's huge. Yeah. That's potentially a big turn if he's come out in favour of it. If the whole paper moves that way as well, then
bloody hell.
That's
well, that's, they were always more, they were a Labour paper, but they were quite often much fairer in their coverage of independence generally. Than other papers.
That's it. I mean, because they've clearly not been a Tory rag, but sometimes being a Labour rag is not much different. But it is interesting that it seems to have brought some people kind of round. Not just that event, but it's been the events of the last couple of days that have obviously awoken some people to what's actually happening with this whole fucking Brexit shambles.
Tory MPs bailing on, like, they're resigning.
Yeah.
Labour front benchers were resigning over this. It was mad. It was absolutely crazy, but I suppose it's a sign of how bad things have gone. I'm not the most well read up on this whole thing, so I'm only really kind of basing it off like what I've seen. I'm only calling it as I see it.
But
it seems to me that a lot of people are now saying this isn't going to work. I'd much rather not have anything to do with this.
Oh, well, that's
my, that was my impression I was getting from the ones that were resigning. It was like, I don't want to be responsible for this, but it's like they've seen the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
Now they know what's going to come, so they want to be like, protect. They kind of want to get away from that now while they still can.
I think it's about setting up a clear dividing line, because there was a clear dividing line Brexit referendum where Scotland voted, was it 60-something percent to stay in, and not one area of Scotland voted to leave.
Yeah.
and so they're wanting to create this clear water. Because there's been a lot of discussion recently, but there's been a lot of polls out about, well, there's actually quite a lot of independent supporters who also support Brexit.
Yeah.
There's a good chunk, like, yeah, you know, on the order of 30, 40%, maybe not 40, but like 30-something yeah. percent. Uh-huh. It's quite large. And so there's been a lot of debate within the SNP
about,
even though the majority, yeah, vast majority of them are, you know, are for the EU,
yeah,
but now they seem to have set their, we're going to, no, they're going to be much clearer now, and they're going to start putting, they are the pure anti-Brexit party,
yeah,
and we, and they're going to show that you can only, that the systems of UK government aren't working for us, therefore yeah, you can only do that with an independent Scotland.
Scotland, yeah,
yeah,
that's it. It's, you know, it does totally come down to that classic referendum argument of, if you leave, you'll be leaving the EU. Mm. You know, and then, yeah, what, 3 years later, 2 years later, mm, here we are. But yeah, it's total shambles. And again, it's that sort of thing you were saying about people not, you know, not wanting anything to do with it, or just get out while they can.
Yeah,
it's the whole reason that May's still in power, is because that's such a poison chalice. I mean, the amount of gaffes and fuck ups, and, you know, any other yeah, prime minister,
oh, yeah,
would have had a vote of no confidence by yeah, now. But nobody wants that. Nobody wants to do it. So she's the patsy that's going to take the fall for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then at the same time, Christ, she might actually come out of it looking good. Because yeah, of, I just...
Do you think she'd come out as a martyr of sorts then?
Yeah, probably. But yeah, it's just, it's all fucking shit.
Yeah.
It's all fucking shit.
What have
shit,
we voted for? Well, not me, personally, but...
What did Little England vote for?
Yeah. Democracy is just a pain in the arse, isn't it?
Yeah. Aye, well, I suppose while we're talking about things fighting... Maybe. Go to our fight club.
Wow.
Shit links this week, guys. It's yeah, shit links.
The segue game is on point, lads.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fantasy Fight Club. Come on in and take a seat in front of our specially constructed imaginary nonagon for another great fight card this evening. Quick rundown of the rules. Each of us pits two fighters against one another. These fighters can be anyone or anything. We then discuss the faults and merits of each fighter and how we think the fight would go. We then all decide on a winner. So let's get ready to ramble.
Get ready. Get steady. Let's ramble. Everybody ramble.
Too much fucking enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Is that better for you? Because the last time I done this, you slid me off for missing it. Let's get ready. Oh, no, let's... Oh, just wreck the mic, that was it.
Yeah, that really got to me.
He almost quit the podcast.
Yeah.
So yeah, this week we're in the nonagon, but there's a wee thing going on, just like over in Eastern Europe somewhere. Is something to do with the ball, kicking a ball, yeah, and like other countries. What is it?
It'll be the World Cup.
See, I was trying to ask Jamie because he became our football correspondent the other day. It was freaky the amount of football news and knowledge you were coming out with.
There was just a lot of football news that day.
Much like the weird thing about this edition of the Fight Club, it's much like Desert Island Discs. I question our safety in the environment that we've placed ourselves in. I'm not too sure about having a nonagon in the middle of Russia is a good idea. But
I don't know, they quite like a fight.
They do.
A scrap, yeah.
Well, yeah.
They're surrounded by Russia ultras as we speak, ready for blood.
I've never been mad into football, but I've always watched the World Cup,
mm-hmm,
and so I always get quite excited by the World Cup,
yeah,
and yeah, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah. Russia's already won their game today, 5-0. I wonder how many more games of Russia's will go like that until they win the World Cup.
How much of the Kremlin is in that stadium, you ask?
Saudi were just genuinely shit as well. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I just found it funny. Was like, was it one of the Saudi princes that was in the stands with Vladimir Putin?
Vladimir Putin, and I think it was the new FIFA president in between them.
Yeah,
and that's a lot of corruption. Yeah, in three seats.
It was just like, wow.
Christ.
But also, we had news in Dunfermline. The old nightclub Velocity stroke the ballroom stroke the ball bag. it's turning into a world buffet. We're getting a world buffet in Dunfermline.
It was long rumoured, but we're finally getting it.
Yeah.
Because someone said...
This and Tree Blows Down is literally Dunfermline News.
Yeah, this is and this is where we are this week for this content.
This is...
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You are witnessing the bottom of the barrel, ladies and gentlemen. We are scraping as hard as we can.
Mark, come back. But yeah, so with that opening, we kind of thought we would combine the two, to have a story, to have a Fight Club, where we kind of throw in some countries and their stereotypical cuisine.
Yeah.
And... yeah, throw them against one another and see what happens. So, yeah, I think basically I've drawn the short straw, so I'll go first. My contenders, so on one side I've got, you know, greasy Italians and their pizza.
Straight up racism from the start.
And then on the other side coming in is the, what was it? Clarkson said about them again, cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
Yes.
Yeah, the French. Yeah, I'm just going all in there for for this one. The French with some classic escargot.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I have had both pizza in Italy and snails in France.
Ah.
Yeah.
You know what? I have yet to have snails. It's not something that's much on the menus here.
No. My dad always had a snail fork when we were kids. Like, I think he maybe had snails. Never.
But a snail fork.
Well, he's had them, but
not in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never ever had them before. But I kind of imagine, I've had like periwinkles.
Mm.
Imagine it's not too different from that.
It's not. They're kind of more boingy. They're kind of more like...
More really like a mussel or something?
No, kind of like really boingy mushrooms.
Boingy
is genuinely, do you know what? They don't really have much of a taste because they're so drowned in garlic and butter.
Yeah.
Missy, the silent producer of the podcast as well, was there.
Yeah.
Cutch's partner. Mm-hmm. But I doubt she had them.
No, I don't think she would have. No, I don't think that
was on a fourth year high school trip. Mags was there as well, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was when they discovered blue steak.
Oh, so tasty.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, escargot, like I say, I don't really know much about it, but apart from, generally being drowned in garlic or something else. I mean, again, garlic, French, hey, there we go.
Yeah.
But I think the might of the Italians and the classic street food that is pizza. I mean,
there's strength and depth in pizza as well.
You can do anything with a pizza.
Right, I had pizza in Italy and Naples in one of the best pizzerias in the world.
Oh, did you have no pals?
in two or three actually of them, but holy shit! Right, just on that experience alone, if we're going for the best of each, and I didn't have the best snails, but I'm telling you, there's just no comparison. Pizza trounces snails.
Goes with pizza.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Does pizza lose to anything though? Let's be real here. Like, what would really defeat the pizza? There's not a lot in this earth.
Lots of things. Stir fry.
Really?
Stir fry is probably my favorite food.
See, pizza's up there as being like, if I could only eat one food forever, it would be pizza.
Oh no, I'd be stir fry all the way. Yeah. I suppose they're both quite versatile.
Yeah,
and you can have very different
anything on them.
Yeah,
except for pineapples. Let's never have pineapples and pizzas.
I will fight you on this.
Let us. You know what? We're in an Oregon. Might as well do it now.
Ham, a Hawaiian pizza, ham and pineapple. Yeah. Fucking great. I love pineapple on a pizza. It's also people that get angry about fish on a pizza. It's like, are you kidding me? That is actually one of the most natural things you could have.
Oh, yeah.
Italians love a bit of fish on their pizza.
Is that something about the anchovy dying out, or am I just thinking that up?
Possibly.
There's a lot of fish dogs problems in the world. Speaking of my dad, actually, he always, like, if he has a pizza, nine times out of ten, he'll put sardines on it.
Sardines,
normally sardines. Yeah.
Sardines, anchovies, capers,
anchovies as well. Yeah, a lot.
And
capers,
Sometimes with a wee bit.
Usually more anchovies and capers,
Sometimes with a wee bit blue cheese as well in the mix. Oh, aye. Just so many good things you can do with that.
Well, so since I'm going to call this one.
Yep.
I'm going for pizza.
Yep, I'm going for the greasy Italians and their greasy pizza.
Pizza. James?
I'm going to go with the Italians and the pizza. You cannot go wrong with pizza.
Cool. Well, I'm going to go next.
Yeah.
Good.
And I'm going to go for... That means James hasn't thought of his yet.
I'm trying to work it out.
And I'm going to go for an all-Asian battle. Traditional enemies. I'm going to go for Japan, who I'm pretty sure are in the World Cup this year.
Mm-hmm.
But usually are. Against China, who I don't think are. And I'm going to go between rice noodles mm-hmm. from China and udon noodles from Japan.
That is a shout. I think I'd definitely be in udon's corner. Do like a good thick, they soak up so much and take on so much flavor, whereas a rice noodle is kind of it's more for like soups and things.
I was just about to say, I think an udon noodle is more like pasta in the way
it really
interacts with sauce.
Whereas
rice noodles are more like if you're having tons of sauce with something. Sauce. Udon noodles, it's like a light sauce usually with it. Yeah. It's tough because udon noodles have the size.
Yep.
They also tend to be longer. They also tend to be longer than rice noodles as well.
So a reach advantage as well.
You've got everything going for them.
Yeah. Where rice noodles are usually quite thin and
but
really pale.
They can be very good in a... sort of in a soup.
The other thing is as well is there's so to have it like wet like that in a soup or even in a like probably not so much a stir fry, but if you were doing like a noodle dish with like steamed veg and stuff like that, it's quite good. But then to have crispy rice noodles,
that's a good point.
In a stir fry where they're sort of fried to the point that they're crispy.
Yeah.
Because
udon noodles aren't so great in a pure stir fry because there's they do work. But I actually think so. I think I prefer udon noodles overall, but rice noodles work better than that because for me, the stir fry is more about like the vegetables and a wee bit of the sauce and a wee bit of the meat.
Sorry, guys, we've got a
angry cat,
angry
cat
who's just bugging the hell out
a
of
little
us,
dick
but
bag
we're just trying to ignore them. So anyway, rice noodles.
So I'm going to call this one quickly.
And
I'm going to go for udon.
I'm going to udon.
There we go.
I thought
be more disagreement.
Nah, it's the king of noodles. If there's udons on the menu, that's where I am.
Me as well.
Especially like teriyaki, something with teriyaki and salmon teriyaki and udon noodles.
But would I get bored of them if I ate them all the time? That's the thing.
I don't think you
anyway,
would.
I called it.
Right,
sorry.
Cool. Udon. Right, James. So,
my one is we're going to bring in some World Cup contenders in here because I'm going to put together England's Sunday roast versus Mexico's enchiladas.
I have. I can call this right away. I'm with the enchiladas.
Yeah, I think that was a quick one.
I don't know. I really like.
I like a Sunday roast, but
they've both got their own qualities.
Give me an enchilada any day.
No.
I've got to be in the mood for an enchilada.
You get with
you
a Sunday roast, you can get roast potatoes.
Yeah.
You can even have like,
but with an enchilada,
beefs and tatties and everything.
With an
as
enchilada,
well.
You could stick roast potatoes in it if you wanted.
No, mate.
you're just getting saucy. No. That's what you're doing.
Essentially, you could just stick a fucking roast in an enchilada and have it all.
No, never.
Just filth. Just
there's nothing.
Pure filth.
You know, I really like roast chicken mainly because of the skin. The skin is hard. But or roast
when it's salted and peppered
lamb,
and
nice bit of roast
so crispy
lamb,
and
or roast beef.
See, I'm more about the roast beef. A nice bit pink bit of roast beef, which is sort of
see
fatty
like,
on the top, is the best thing and is amazing.
Some of my favorite like roasts though are like if I go to a carvery. And then you can, like, they've got everything.
Bit,
and get a bit of everything. So you get a wee bit turkey, a wee bit ham, a wee bit beef. There's usually another option. What's the other option? A wee bit lamb,
yeah.
And it's just like you get just a little selection of all the meats. And
get
that's the way to go.
A bit of potatoes.
Are you
Yorkshire
big Yorkshire? Look, I'm not saying a Sunday roast is bad. I'm just saying, I would have an enchilada over a Sunday roast.
I suppose enchilada, there's a bit more variety involved in there. You can mix it up. You can jam some more things in there if you please.
Yeah.
But if you only had to eat one?
An enchilada.
Really?
Yeah. Totally. Oh. There's so much more flavour in an enchilada. Like, exciting flavours.
There's more sort of... I don't know. What's the Japanese? Is it unami?
Unami, yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. In roast. You know what I mean? Mm. It's not quite unami, but it's on that level.
Probably more because it's like the salty, savoury flavours, where like an enchilada is going to be more sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, exciting. Spicy.
I don't have that big a sweet tooth, though. I think that's
sweet
thing.
And spicy. And
I do like spicy.
Yeah.
Although, like, if you were to make me choose between the two, I don't know if I'd be willing to give up Yorkshire puddings that much. There's something about having a nice bit of beef with some gravy, a little bit of veg, and then a Yorkshire pudding on there. Mm. Just get all in that one bite.
I need to go into a brief rant about pre-made roast potatoes, which I'm generally against. But I'm even more against them because quite often if you cook them, they take on a sweetness which is more like Yorkshire puddings than roast potatoes, and it really upsets me.
I don't know. When it comes to the pre-made ones, it kind of depends on how pre-made, what are the frozen, what tatties and all that kind
frozen
of stuff.
Frozen ones.
Yeah.
Then they seem to take on a sort of like sweetness.
Mm. They've probably been soaked in sugar or something like that to help preserve them.
Yeah, Bessie knows what she's doing.
So I'm going to call this one.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go for, obviously, roast.
Roast. No, I am with the enchilada.
I'm going to go with a roast. It's
he changed his mind.
Oh, God
it's
damn it.
He's the Sal D'Amato of...
You know what? You know
combat
what it is?
Sports reference for you.
When I sat there, like, I love enchiladas, but then I sat there just talking about what you can have with a roast and the taste and flavours. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I'd be willing to give that up if I had to choose between the two. There is something sensational about a good, well-cooked roast.
Totally, totally go for an enchilada. I want an enchilada now.
Enchiladas you can throw together. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. It's over.
Yeah. So, I think it's been a short one tonight, but that's just the way it goes when there's only three of us.
That's the way it goes. Too obvious. You know what I was going to say, listeners. Let's just move on.
What were you going to say?
Always a short one if we're involved.
Oh, right.
I mean, it may not have been the most exciting fights you'll ever hear, but I tell you what, this weekend, there are some cracking fights going on at Kirkcaldy at the Ice Rink Fife Arena.
That's very true. Yeah, we've got, what is it, the search for... For Rudy's?
Sounds for Rudy, yeah.
Search for, is it Rudis, I think.
Rudis, is it? Yeah. Rudis, aye.
Or Rudis.
Rudis, yeah. So, yeah, basically a big MMA fight night going on at the Ice Arena on Saturday night. I think it's 7 o'clock things kick off.
Oh,
yeah.
I guess half five.
Is doors it half five at doors, but seven things kick off at 7. So, yeah, if you want to go along and see some sort of professional and amateur fights.
Yeah.
It's sort of backed by
UFC fighter Stevie's
Braveheart MMA, isn't it?
Yeah, which me and Dave train out of.
Yeah.
We're not fighting, though.
No. Are you guys helping out or cornering or anything like that?
No, there's some talk of Dave cornering, but I don't know if he is now, but I've said to the guys I'll be there, but honestly, there's enough of them between themselves to help each other out, so they probably won't need me anyway.
And we're going to take the mics along, and we're going to see if we can get chatting with some folk. Maybe if we can get enough to put out a half-hour show, we might get enough to do an hour show.
Yeah.
But we are also going to try our best to grab Stevie and have a wee chat with him as well, if we can get him for 5 minutes.
A few of the fighters as well.
Yeah, and anybody that wants to talk to us, really.
Yeah. How do you feel about the fight?
Yeah, and maybe a wee bit of analysis about a couple of the fights as well. Yeah.
If you like combat sports, go along.
Yeah.
Yeah. Braveheart MMA, run by Arena Gym.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It will be. And if you don't like combat sports, but you like us, come back next week because it will be combat sports heavy. But the idea is just to kind of show that there's things that go on in Fife that cater to everybody. And this is definitely within our wheelhouse.
And even if you don't like combat sports, you're not going to be seeing anything.
No.
So you're not going to see people getting punched in the face.
We'll just tell you about it.
But so we'll tell you about it.
And you can imagine it like Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. About Tom and Jerry, but hopefully I get some human side of it as well.
Yeah, that's
that'll be good.
That'll be good, yeah. But yeah, like I say, these kind it's of like, things go on across the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I think, we've been known to do it. And you know, something I hear a lot is people say that there's nothing to do. Mm. And here's a night of entertainment. If you like any kind of combat sports, it's there on your doorstep.
Yeah.
Go see it.
It's our sworn duty and responsibility to bring to you all the things you can do in Fife, because there's loads to do.
Yeah.
That is not correct, because that'll become really boring.
You can go down the park and play in the swings. But no, so if you're about and you see us as well, we'll probably all have our t-shirts on. Well, it'll be me, Jamie and Dave that'll be there. We'll have our t-shirts.
I'll probably have a proud t-shirt on.
You probably will. I'll have my t-shirt on.
I'll wear it like a football top when there's UFC cards on.
And you know us, you know, come chat to us. We'll have a chat with you as well.
You may make it onto the show.
You might, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually,
definitely come up to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll have a chat, and we can talk Fife Club, we can talk fighting, we can talk whatever you want.
Five or
anything, as long as it's content and it gives us something to put out next week.
And it's £5 for an autograph per host, £10 for a photo of your choosing, and a special £10 to £15 offer if you want to get your photo signed by one of the cast.
And quickly on that note, as we mentioned earlier on, we have a shop open on the website now, selling t-shirts, mugs, badges, you name it.
Duffel bags.
Yeah, that duffel bags.
Excellent design for the t-shirt from
friend of the podcast, Dale, who's made us an awesome design of the Honey Badger. It's our only one that's up just now, but we've got plans for a couple of more. Basically, if you like what we do and you kind of fancy some Fife Club styled merch, then jump on in. It'll just help us keep the lights on and keep things moving.
Yeah, we're not going to make any money. it's for buying new equipment.
And our hosting fees and things like that. Yeah. It's really, as I say, we do this for nothing and for the love of it. But at the same time, there are some costs involved. And if like I say, no pressure. Just if you fancy something like that, give us a shout.
And just think, for like every couple of t-shirts, if you buy a t-shirt or a hat, these are more things that we can provide you with, like more coverage of the Whiskey Festival
and all that kind of stuff.
It's we pay back to you if you give us. It's not just like
one way.
It's not just one way. We will
totally
give you back in
totally time. But yeah, really the idea is just to get some cool design t-shirts that have a Fife and Fife Club slant on them. So go have a look. Other than that, I think it's really probably time to shut up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's that time of the evening where I have to ask James, what is the motto this week?
Kutch versus James, round one in the Nonagon. Pick your winner now.
Pineapples. Good night.
Night.